dead. Dead.
Let's do it. This is our opening. Here we go. Craft beer is dead. Let's be awesome. We have four people. It's twice as many as usual. It's going to be great. That's our intro for today.
I am not mad at it. Welcome, boys and girls. Would you want to go around the room and introduce ourselves?
Sure. Let's start with our guests. Lovely guests.
Hi, guests. Who are you?
Hey, guys. I'm Horace Anderson from Angry Chair Brewing Company in Tampa, Florida. How are my levels? Do I sound okay?
You sound dope.
I do.
And you're overemphasizing every syllable.
You sound so fucking great.
I'm just so nervous.
I don't know how to follow that up, but I'm Sarah Nitsch, and I'm a sales representative with Cavalier Distributing in Florida.
And your social media handle, if they know you better that way?
My social media handle is Beauty and the Beer on Instagram.
Beauty and that bad bitch, Sarah Nitsch. Yours. Yes.
I like that. Thank you.
Well, we are very, very excited to have you guys on today for this spooky scary. Even though you guys woke up this morning, had no idea you were going to be telling some spooky scaries.
That's how I like to live my life.
Right?
I'm not even sure how I got here.
Roads.
Literally, figuratively.
It's all just a blur. Everything that happens between sips of beer, I just...
That's a very successful Sunday, I think.
We're doing okay.
Yeah. No, I thought it'd be fun. So we have, like, we were talking before the show about our ideas on ghosts. Because yes. We pull things out of our ass, let's be honest. We don't plan this stuff. We
Daily.
Just all talk off the head. Yeah.
Off the head.
So with that being said, we had one part that was just like, no, ghosts, not a thing. Another one who was like, ghosts, totally a thing, and I have stories.
Yes.
I just want to see where both sides go.
So where's the divide?
Where's the divide? But also, like, it is one of those kind of things where, like, it is completely subjective. It's all it's interpretation through your own experiences.
There is no proof, and there's all the proof.
I know. Which is why we don't have any proof, so, well, kind of. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So where do you lie, Chris? You are a no-go.
I am... in the middle, because I've had certain things happen to me before where I'm like, I've dissected it 20,000 different ways.
And of course you
I
have.
I can't decide what else it could be other than maybe these ghosts I've been hearing about through movies. So, I don't know. There's been a couple different things where, like, I just can't find a reason why they would happen other than some sort of outside paranormal involvement or whatever, too. But also, before that, I was very much... of the mindset of, like, you can explain everything away.
Yeah.
Until something happens where you can't. And then that's where I've fallen now, so.
I feel you.
What about you?
Oh, I'm very pro-ghost. I definitely...
Like, politically, or...?
Yes, exactly.
That's your platform.
That is actually who I wrote in on the last ballot.
Spookies
I don't know,
everyone.
And honestly, I really can't even say I've had anything ever actually happen to me. I just am a firm believer that there's enough shit that I've seen or heard, and how not. I don't know. How do you feel, Sarah?
I think I might be similar to Chris in the sense that I've had experiences that I don't know how to explain. But in the same way, I don't like magicians. I'm very hard-headed, and I hate not understanding how things work. So I have unexplainable things that have happened, but I'm mad about it.
Mad about it.
All right, Horace.
I am a staunch disbeliever. Probably the easiest way to explain it. I don't put any faith in what can't be quantified or verified using the scientific method and approach.
Okay, understandable.
Yes.
Now, this is where I love getting into it, too, because, like, how... Again, I'm not a ghost explorer or quantifier.
You're going to end there at ghost.
I'm not a ghost. Bye, everybody.
Wow, that sounds like just what a ghost would say.
It really does.
Damn, it just comes out of me. I'm
sketchy.
Sorry. No, but very much so, too, to where, like, there's the argument, too, to where, yeah, maybe we don't have any hardcore photographs. Maybe we don't have any hardcore recordings. Maybe we do, and maybe they've been manipulated. Who knows, right? But also, maybe we also don't have the technology to quantify things in the way that we need to prepare them to be able to quantify that sort of energy source.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's really weird to me because, like, there are a lot of things that happen when you look at spheres in a photograph, when you look at types of voice recordings like that right there. That was spooky. When you look at all these different things where they're obviously not normal, ergo paranormal by definition, does it mean that it's not a ghost or that we just maybe don't have the right technology now?
So we have to label it as just creatures. We have to be like, that was a fucking ghost.
Well, it depends on how they label themselves. I don't know, man. Like,
but I think that whole notion can tie into like so much of this sort of like anti-intellectualism as far as like how we approach specific topics, whether it be ghosts, religion, anything in general. Not to make this a conversation about religion necessarily or anything like that, but just because we cannot quantify something, so because we don't have a hardcore like a hardcore foundation for it, we should not just jump to the conclusion that it necessarily exists as something supernatural or paranormal. Because the point of science isn't to be right every time, it's to get as close as possible and to continually fix upon it and let it grow and evolve. You know? So when we kind of draw that line in the sand and say, like, I don't understand this, and we're not at a point with our technology or our means of understanding that we're just going to shrug it off and say, fucking ghosts, dude. Like, that's not, I just don't think that, like, I don't think that that's a smart way to go about things.
No, hands up. Totally agree with you.
Yeah.
But also, I would say it would be limited to discredit the possibility of it.
Sure.
Based off
I can understand that standpoint. 100%.
I'm not a proponent either way.
Yeah, yeah. I get it.
I just don't want to shut one possibility.
Mine is just strictly because it's just way more fun to go about this mentality.
It is.
I swear to God, there's literally no other rhyme or reason that this life is just more entertaining.
I gotta keep a little magic in my life, right?
I can totally understand that. But I also am a firm believer that, like, understanding like the absolute machinations of the world around us,
that's
makes
more
it
fun.
Significantly more magical. Like, understanding how things work and how we're able to, like, interact and, you know, manipulate these forces and use them and work with them makes life far more magical than just assuming that there's some strange preternatural force governing all of existence.
But, like, how do you define those things that science has yet to come to a conclusion about? Like, do you just dismiss them entirely, or how do you refer to those things?
You can't, but that's, like I said, that's the point of science, is that, like, we don't necessarily understand now.
But in the interim, what do you call those things?
Hypotheses.
Yeah. Nerd.
Those are called hypotheses. It's the difference between a hypothesis and a theory.
Yeah.
A hypothesis is speculation. A theory is something that's been rigorously tested. That's why we have, you know, theories of gravity and evolution, and they're not the hypothesis of gravity and evolution.
Like, but they're also not proven laws of gravity and evolution.
Right. There's not a law of evolution, but I'm pretty sure there's...
Law of gravity. There's definitely a law of gravity.
Sure, but even then, it's still a theory, technically.
Definitely a law.
When things are put into law, it's because, like, we've done everything we can, but because our technology continues to advance, we're always capable of, like, you know, furthering it. Is something all right? Did something get fucked up?
No, we're great.
No, okay, I'm cool. Still just laughing at Chris.
Personally, there's a law of gravity. I'm excited for ghost law.
Ghost law sounds good, yeah.
I would take that class.
Yeah, the law of ghosts sounds pretty cool. Yeah.
I'm just picturing Casper in, like, a powdered wig, just being like,
The ghost court.
Ghost court? I'd watch the shit out of that.
Truly, truly. Could you imagine if people, like serial killers, could be tried in the afterlife?
Or even just, like, people fucking who died and have some, like, really petty arguments with people still living.
Like,
we had ghost
court. Maury or whatever, but a fucking ghost.
It's like, we're haunting you because of this. Like, dope. Well, no, Judge Judy just deemed, like, that this is petty and you should just move on.
Move the fuck on.
Yeah.
But how great is it that we think it would be like, oh, yeah, they're going to judge them as ghosts, and be like, no, you guys racked up a lot of ghosts for us. You fucking killed it, literally. You're going straight to the top. I know a guy.
Straight to ghost jail.
Damn, spirit prison sounds wild.
Spirit prison sounds miserable.
And they could go through the bars the entire time. Yeah. They just don't.
Yeah, it's just all for, it's all symbolic.
It is. It is. They can leave anytime.
Where the fuck can we go from that?
Alright. This was really, a really fun episode, guys.
It got really abstract very quickly.
Alright, now I need some truth. All right. Who has a story?
Well, you've already heard all mine.
I have heard
skinwalkers years. Aside, that's a stupid bullshit
whoa,
thing.
Whoa! Is there a skinwalker story?
Yeah, oh, you have God, to check yeah. the previous. Like, so long story short, I'm pretty sure I saw a skinwalker. Not entirely sure. Again, something's buzzing. You guys hear that?
I think it might be our shit maybe touching the phone, or are they just unplugging or something? Because
am I touching things?
No, it's just going haywire in my head right now, and it's really hard to concentrate.
It's the ghost?
It's definitely the ghost. And even my mic sounds off. Like, I feel like my volume is shit. Really high, too.
I know, it's really ghosts. Fucking weird.
It's yeah, really weird. I feel like the episode is going to sound like I was screaming.
No, like you
I sound muffled. Now I sound a little better. Now I sound worse.
Now I'm off. Now I've got Gary Oldman's now voice.
Alright, talking there again?
Gary Oldman?
Yeah, you're only in the fucking right mic and I can't figure out why.
I know. That
this
sounds
has
better.
Never happened before.
That sounds better.
You're
that's
right?
better. All yeah, right. that's good. There you go.
Cool, 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 cool.
Okay, cool, cool, cool.
Yeah, so, hold on. 11:25. Skinwalkers. This is our natural break that you guys at home didn't even realize we edited it out.
That was a really bad commercial yeah. we just played.
God damn it. No, so long story short, I was pretty sure I ran into one. They were super sketchy. They were shifty as hell.
Downtown Orlando.
It was one of those things.
Oh, it was a fucking thing. Yeah.
Dude.
That's where you would run.
Are you,
into
wait, are you talking about, amazing. Are we talking about like the Native American skinwalker?
Yes. Oh, like dead ass, okay. like that's what he's referring to.
And
shit.
The only reason I say this is because the person looked me dead in the eye and goes, have you ever heard of a skinwalker?
Swear to God.
So this dude just came up and was like, hey, dude, I just need you to know I'm a skinwalker. And then he walked away.
Essentially, yeah.
Wait. A little bit more nonchalant, but that's like, all I need that to know. Was the basis. Like,
the people at home know.
Honestly, my favorite story is Christian talking about the guy who followed him across the street. So this homeless guy scared the shit out of Christian because he's like being real weird. He's like shicey. He's like walking right here so he can kind of see him. And he's just walking and walking. And then finally he just screams, "Boo!" And just and like out of fucking nowhere, Christian just shits his pants like in the middle of the street downtown. Like
oh
he's
God.
And then. Christian saw him do it again to someone right behind him. So he's just chilling
like
on this corner, and that's his thing all day. He just scares the shit out of people. And I think it's hilarious.
Okay, exactly what cross street is he on? Because
I think it was by
I
the
7 Eleven.
Was your story the 7 Eleven or was his
no,
the 7 Eleven?
No, mine was over by Tangeray's.
Then I think his was by the 7 Eleven.
Is this the 7 Eleven over on Central and Rosalind?
I think so. Yes, 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 oh. Rosalind. You know. Yeah. You know. I thought that was hilarious.
Are there any, like. Are there any reservations or anything like near like this area of Central Florida?
Florida in general is just fucking chock
full. No, absolutely. But when you hear most of the stories about the skinwalker, they take place out near like Arizona and like the Texas area. And
well,
whatnot.
It's only because they usually quantify them out towards Skinwalker Ranch because it's like identifiable by brand. But
this was an urban skinwalker.
Yeah,
urban skinwalker so, is a really good beer name.
All I'll say, gosh,
actually,
that is pretty
it
good.
Is
urban skinwalker is a fucking
that is a
brewery
great
name.
Name.
Dug them out. Chris
he has such a fucking brewery name. That's the moment he's been waiting for. It's just the branding.
Just
waiting
brand.
For that light bulb idea.
Good branding opportunity.
Yeah.
Then we
that's
never
actually
saw
a decent.
Again.
That's a good beer
yeah.
name, too.
I'm just saying.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, there's a lot more details. I've already told him before. It's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, he gets super embarrassed telling this story. It's
I don't
super
believe
funny.
In the shit. I don't. But also at the
that's
same
so
time,
funny.
There's weird perceptions of time shifting where I'm like, I don't fucking understand it.
Like, he remembers there being a time where there was no sound. He didn't see any cars. He didn't see, like, literally, like, time stopped. Like, and you know downtown where if you notice there's no vehicles or people, then you're like, what the fuck? Like, that'd be
a
weird. Yes,
that's
exactly.
Why it was
exactly.
noteworthy. It was because
that's
of that.
That's why he makes this point. In yeah.
Anyway.
So.
What's up, girl?
What that thing do?
Nothing.
All right.
So we're talking about pros, cons of ghosts. You had mentioned some sort of experience that maybe lends you to the belief
yes,
of
I need this.
The earlier.
I
need
this. So I have a very strange background. I was raised Wiccan by my mother.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
So it was a very interesting childhood that I had, and she was very
in that
pro
state?
Spiritualism. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Very huh. much so. She was very, very into it, very vocal wow. about it. And so I'd always been raised with like this sort of curiosity about the paranormal, about the supernatural, because she was always very pro.
That's
like,
so
just, it didn't matter if there was an explanation for it.
Wow.
It was always something happening. And I don't know if that meant that I was kind of subjective to it, like psychological suggestion sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I do have a few experiences from my childhood, especially. I think the first one, this is very sad. This is such a bummer story. I'm so sorry.
No.
But my dog got ran over when I was like 7, I think.
Oh my gosh.
And I was at school and I came home and my mother broke the news to me, blah, blah, blah. It was very tragic, whatever. But I was asleep, like going to sleep that night in my room, and I remember looking over my bed and seeing these like kind of glittery orbs like floating over my bed. It was like very kind of pretty, sort of like sequins sort of thing, whatever. And I had no idea how to explain that. And I remember just casually mentioning it to my mom, and she just sort of stopped what she was doing and looked at me and asked me to repeat that. And I did, and she's like, you know, when your dog got ran over, like, he didn't die right away. We brought him into the house, and he managed to pull himself up the stairs and pass away on your bed.
Oh, my God.
And that night is when I saw all, like, the glittering lights above my bed sort of thing. And so that was a very strange incident.
Wow.
That happened with me. And, like,
especially because you didn't know that
I didn't
prior.
Know.
Like, you, not a clue.
Yes.
Wow.
If I had, like, known beforehand, I might have, like, maybe just suggested to myself that something had happened.
Exactly.
And something. But the fact that I had no prior knowledge is the thing that makes me kind of raise my eyebrow a little bit about that.
Do you think your mom would have told you that dog passed away in your bed?
No way.
She didn't
way.
Change the sheets or anything. She just
dude, that's one of those moments where, like, literally she got so many heebie-jeebies, like, yo, I gotta talk to you about this.
Yeah.
I can't just keep this to myself.
I gotta level with my 6-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
Oh my God,
that's pretty crazy, man. Like, and that's another thing too, to where when you hear stories like that, you know, you can also ask yourself, we talked about the whole, like, what is the interim of what we can't quantify versus whether or not we should put belief in it or label it and all these different kind of things. What if there just is a way that that sort of energy presents itself, and it's basically subject to interpretation? So with a Wiccan background, maybe you are open to just the perception of the energy source from a spirit itself, from a ghost or a religious background, let's say a religious background with like demonic kind of things, and you think it's negative or you think there's a spirit involved, whether it's a scientific background and maybe you look at it as like an alien experience. What if it's literally just the same energy presence presenting itself, and it's subject to interpretation based off your own narrow, or not narrow, but like your own lens point of how you've developed your entire quantification of life?
I highly agree with that. I feel like there's so much that has to do with cultural suggestion and superstition that allows us to interpret things in a way that is specific to how we grew up and the way that we've grown up believing things as they are. And I feel like the unexplained, it's very easy for us to try to find some sort of familiarity with something like that, and we try to box it into something that we've already been exposed to.
Absolutely.
So, you know, if you're Roman Catholic and something gets weird and dark, and you start to think, well, no, it's stigmata, because that's something that you grew up knowing about, and how else do I explain
how else, like, do you cope, or how else do you try? I think it's just the,
we literally quantify
coping.
Things through the lens of outcomes we've already experienced, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if everything's observation, if everything we've ever experienced, whether it be from a scientific or personal or emotional kind of standpoint, it's literally just, I've been through this before, and this is how I've been either taught or experienced to be able to interpret it. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
and move either by, you know,
I
just
feel like
continue
that's kind
on.
Of like a move of survival, even.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, how do you, as a person, growing up in this world and something completely unexplainable happens to you, like, what does that do to your mental health?
Yeah,
when you,
I mean, that's why all the early civilizations,
something?
That was literally what I think
mythology
got
is such a huge
exactly.
part of those civilizations.
Yeah.
Because how do we quantify these things that are happening? And we don't have the scientific formulae or like the conclusions to back
exactly.
it up. We're just like feeling about in the dark for things.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that sort of mythological viewpoint and mysticism kind of like evolves and changes over time too. Like, we see it even today. It kind of puts us at a standstill is what I think. Like, since we climbed down from the trees, it's been our goal to just try to give, like, name and voice and body to all these, like, untamable, like, natural forces that surround us because we didn't understand. But as we evolve as a species, as we evolve as, like, a shared human species, we should hopefully be able to start to do away with some of, like, the superstitious and mythological jetsam and flotsam that tends to, like, plague our existence.
Where there doesn't have to be an answer. Like,
yeah, there doesn't have to be some sort of supernatural answer. Yeah. Answer. We can understand these things, mm-hmm. like, from an actual, like, scientific understanding. You know? And I think that that's more poetic to actually obtain true understanding. And, hey, if, like, it can be proven that, like, yeah, they're fucking ghosts and they're, like, swarming around us and watching us, like, play with our genitals and take showers and shit. Like, that's cool. But I want to know. I need actual
what
proof
are you
of that.
Gonna do when that
I actually have a ghost
research comes out
right now. Yeah, but also on the other side of that coin too, like, as far as like poetic of understanding, like,
name, by the way.
Ghosts OnlyFans. I'll write that down. As far as, like, the pinnacle of, like, this poetic kind of understanding of what humans are capable of as a species, with understanding and being able to not necessarily cast away these beliefs, but also be able to quantify and be able to understand them, whatever they may mean in the future with however we're able to do it. Then again, is it also not, like, super sad that, like, we won't have chupacabras or, like, different types of religious figures like leprechauns?
I'm highly, like, sad.
I love how you put religious figures and leprechauns.
That is my own personal thing. That has nothing to do with Crappier's Dead
totally
Podcast view on religion. So.
Chris, I mean, believes in leprechauns. Write it down right so now.
Well, where else do you get the magically delicious puffs?
No, but I agree with you. I am such a huge fan of mythology, and especially when it gets, like, kind of into the pseudoscience area.
Absolutely.
I love cryptozoology. I think it's so fascinating.
Yes, you are hitting his
and, like,
spot.
Please don't rain on my parade in that aspect, because I love it so much.
It's so fun.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm not trying to diminish that at all. I think that, like, the sort of fun and the fancy behind it is always going to be there. It's always going to be great. But, like, do you really want to have a world where, like, people in charge believe in fucking leprechauns? Like, I mean,
what,
like,
are we really doing now?
Like, that's happened.
I mean, truly.
That has happened.
Yeah.
So you see the downside then.
All I'm saying is, if I have a time machine, I go too far forward, I stop and ask somebody, chupacabras, yay, nay, they're like, no, that shit was dismissed years ago. I'd be like, I'm out.
Too far. Yeah. Oh, I'm so out.
I get it. Yeah, I get it.
God, we wouldn't even have half the shows on Discovery Channel without them. I mean, it would
the History Channel at 2 a.m.
The very notion of them still exists, you know, and that's still cool. It's always fun to see those interpretations. Well, but, like, I think being able to disconnect yourself from, like, this sort of, like, fancy and fantasy and understand, like, that's all it really is, doesn't necessarily diminish its value for, like, entertainment, you
that's
know?
True.
Like, trust me, I'm a huge proponent of escapism. Like, I'm super, super about it. But I just don't think unicorns are real, guys. Like, I don't know.
I get it.
Then how else did Voldemort come back and be able to...
Yeah, Horace.
Yeah. J.K.
Wow,
Rowling.
Wow, you fucking got me there.
No, I think there's also, it's like this double-edged sword, too. Like, what feeds what, right? So, like, if you look at all these different ways to quantify through, you know, beauty of mythology or religion or cryptozoology or all these different kind of facets of how what I'm going to call just non-quantifiable experiences that we as humans have throughout the centuries, right? So, if you look at, like, the early hundreds up to the thousands, like, all these different kind of things that happen, we're like, oh, that's a dragon. That's obviously a dragon. Whereas now we're like, oh, that's a ghost. That's obviously a ghost. Or if we look at, you know, later on down the road, at the end of the day, there's also this kind of fun thing, too, with mythology and religion and all these different facets of things where we as humans can also, like, project our own fears, vulnerable moments, mm-hmm. These kind of really fascinating, beautiful kind of things that we maybe wouldn't do when we're told we're wrong, being able to imagine and make, like, I don't know, looking in through, like, an anthropological perspective of things, like, that is our greatest gift. is like we are able to formulate ideas of what could be, what like all these different fantastic things that like don't get shat on by nature, all these different aspects.
And that's how literature really
like all these different stories, like how everything's been created is literally looking at something else that's already been done and be like, well, what if it was this? Like just out of imagination and being able to like turn it into something else too. If you go into this realm where everything's quantified, then we do like, do we lose something of that part of our nature too, where we can't just sit there and be like, yeah, no, it's probably not. But how cool is it to think that, again, chupacabra? I'm stuck on him. I'm sorry. I don't know. It's just it's an interesting facet of like what creates what. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I agree. And I just feel like another great gift with humans is that I feel like we do have the ability to absorb a lot of like factual science, like the way things actually work. And in spite of that, we're still able to have this imaginative aspect of ourselves, like that it just spits in the face of everything that we actually know scientifically. And I don't think that's something that's causes ever us going to question. To stop. Yeah. I think it's always going to be there regardless of like what we find out about ghosts. Like maybe it's just something very mundane that we never thought about. But I think we're always going to have that imaginative escapist streak in us that's always going to try to like look outwards and into the fantastical and the unbelievable, because that's just our nature.
It's human nature. Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. And like I don't think that these things are necessarily like mutually exclusive. Like I think that like science to some extent could either debunk or verify the existence of certain supernatural forces. Have we gotten there? No. But I also don't think, like, when you look at, I fucking hate those ghost hunter shows, because literally it's
they're so bad.
They're 1,000% real.
Right? Because it's like you got like those dudes are like plumbers who just like moonlight as ghost hunters or some shit, and it's like, you know, they barge into a fucking house and they're like, oh yeah, dude, I'm feeling it now. And it's like, here we go. There's fucking ectoplasm dripping on the walls.
Off
it's like,
the scale. What's
this? It's like literally nothing about that is scientific at all. There is literally like, it is so unscientific that it actually unscienced things that were science.
Yes,
like,
it actually brought us back 10 years by us trying to convince people that that's a fucking real
thing. It's literally like a little blip from the dark ages.
So
just like, it's so bad, you know? So when people look at that, they're like, oh, yeah, dude, these guys know what they're fucking doing. Ghosts are real. It's like, oh man, you're doing a huge disservice to like anyone with a fucking brain.
Like, look at my reader. I do have to give them credit. There was a place in my hometown that their business literally was saved because it was a haunted place, and one of these asshats went, visited it, featured it on the show, and now it's like a tourist place.
It's
so it's
huge
super
thing.
Cute.
Look
it like actually
with,
saved
oh,
their business.
That
but
cool.
That show being there, we're all just like, do what you gotta do.
I mean, God, Stanford has ghost tours. Like every major city has a ghost tour in some aspect.
Absolutely.
And I just
and
I don't
I'll
know.
Visit
it's
them
till
I die.
I think we're always gonna be morbidly curious about things like that.
Yes.
I don't think that's ever gonna end.
I think there's two sides of it. I just had this random thought. Right? So one, death scares the shit out of all of us.
Yes.
But, you know, whether or not other species realize it, like, we might be one of the only ones that knows it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Sure.
How terrifying is that? At every given point, we know it's coming for
us,
right?
Is it death that's scary, or not getting your shit done in your time that's scary?
That could be
subjective
for every single person, right? Some people might just hide under the covers because they're afraid that one day it's going to come for them, and somebody else might sit there and go, what is my legacy? So you can look at different cultures like the Greeks, the basically any sort of legacy-driven kind of culture in the past sits there and goes, how is my name remembered, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then also, too, like, we've also, if you look at, you know, evolution and stuff, there's not necessarily any sort of like tried and true thing that really tests us to our core these days. So when you look at the fact that we know we're going to die and nothing challenges us anymore to the point to where like we're actually afraid at certain points where like maybe our ancestors might have been like every 3 to 7 days, like chasing down a buffalo or like getting in a fight with a tiger, who fucking knows what it was. But that same kind of thing to where we might be physiologically hardwired to want to have that sort of like scared reaction to sit there and see what our metals were, to see, sit there and see.
Because we're still, we're alive.
Like, yeah, so like we kind of need these checks
button.
And balances.
Yeah.
So maybe we like love watching this bullshit ghost hunter thing and be like, oh, what would I, oh man, yeah, that would be scary as shit. What would I do? Like that kind of thing too, to where we don't have that conduit anymore per se, at least here in this studio. I'm sure there's other people who have terrible lives. I'm so sorry if you're listening to this.
God, yes. Yeah. So you think it's like almost its own sort of faction of thrill seeking in a way?
Yeah, essentially. Like, the more you read into it, the more you believe in it, eventually you start kind of like going, oh man, that would be terrifying. Mm-hmm. That's something I don't understand. It's something that I need to be able to stand.
But the fear of not passing on or something.
Sure,
you know,
being
like,
stuck. And at the same time, maybe it's almost like a sort of comfort for people because we're given this finite amount of time on this earth to accomplish what we think is significant, to have some sort of legacy. And do you think that some people find some sort of strange comfort in the fact that they might just be hanging around afterwards? Like, that they never truly leave?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure some people would love to be
just
a
immortal
ghost, but
in
like,
a way.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know, that sounds freaking miserable.
Sure, but like not like, us. Like, but somebody else.
Yeah,
might.
Right? It's like, I don't want to be alive.
Like,
now.
Yeah,
just throw me in the trash. Yeah. Right,
like, just
please.
Oh my
go.
God. Like, just not exist now? Jesus, could you imagine having to exist forever?
It's basically exhausting. Like being a vampire, but no one can see you.
Exactly.
And like, you can't even, none of the cool shit. Like, you can't
cool
have
fashion.
Like cheeseburgers or like fucking milkshakes.
You're
you
just haunting
like,
someone's den.
Well, think about in Spanish culture. In Spanish culture, they come back. Every year, it's like that. That's comfortable. Yeah, that's a comfort, right? That they have the ability to be a ghost, come back, and interact with their family again. And that has to,
I think, that has to be part of it. This kind of like sort of fear of being forgotten, or on the living side, this fear of losing touch with the people that were important to you.
Yeah,
and I feel like that propagates so much of this whole belief system and some sort of paranormal thing happening after we're dead.
Definitely.
I think we're like evolutionarily like hardwired to like be horrified of death in general, because I think the whole purpose of like living organisms or like the most basic standpoint is to procreate and perpetuate the species. Mm-hmm. Like, that's literally it, you know? So you fear death, and you fear all of the machinations of death and everything that's associated with it, because that's it. You're done, and you can no longer fulfill your purpose here.
Yep.
You know?
The point of your existence.
I'm never going to fill out my Subway punch card and get that free
like,
sub.
Exactly. Son
like
of
I
a
died.
Bitch.
What do I do?
I know. I've had that stupid Plato's closet punch card.
Away. Yeah. Oh, there's still like dirty laundry that I have to
my
do.
Cat?
I like that idea though too, because like if you look at, you know, every species, every bacteria, everything is to perpetuate itself, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But do you think, and again, I'm not going to sit there and say that we're the only species that has this, but we do have this weird, innate, hardwired kind of thing to go, yeah, but it's got to be mine.
Yeah,
it's got to be my
we're more like, selfish creature.
Yeah, like we will definitely work together as a species. We work with our culture, our tribe, our team, whatever it is.
Because we know that's more efficient, not because we want to.
But at the end of the day, how is my thing known?
Yeah.
And that's, I don't know if that's like a weird specific thing that we all carry to where like it scares the shit out of us when we close our eyes and we're like, we're waiting for the darkness to come, you know? So...
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Oh, hey, buddy. Have you tried the popcorn? I made some for both of us.
Okay, Bree, do you have a scary story?
Honestly, the only kind of, I would say, creepy-esque thing that's ever happened was, so it's this place in Pennsylvania. It's super famous for being haunted. It's called Buck Hill. So growing up, it's a very old hotel, so it's really, really big. But it was really weird because it was within kind of a gated community, and then all the way the hell up this hill, you get up there and it's just this massive, spooky ass hotel. I mean, super eerie, lots of boards on the walls or the windows and stuff. So in high school, it was the badass thing to do, you know, as one would growing up where there's nothing else to fucking do. So we would drive 45 minutes, and I would say we weren't the first group friends to go, but there was like one or two of my friends went, then we went, and then everyone else after us got busted and got fucking arrested. Like, this is like, we got very lucky. They got pissed off after a while. So we get up there and we're walking by the first building, and the wood was on the outside of the window. So we're walking by, and it was literally, it was like 15 seconds of being there, and all of a sudden we just hear like this knocking on, and it was like on the wood, but there's window on the inside. You know, it just didn't make sense to like how the fuck this knocking, and it was like second we got there, so we're just like, oh fuck. You know, I mean, we're like 17 years old, you know, and we're in, dressed in all black, a little black under our eyes. Oh, we were so cool.
That's did
so
you cute. Really do
I
that?
I swear to God.
That's so fun.
Swear to fucking God. So, so we, you have to basically break into this place to get in there and shit. So we had to like, you know, climb this wall and get the hell in there or whatever. So there's, it was called the Lamp Room, and it's this very specific, like, I mean, if you look up this place, it's a very famously scary ass place. So the Lamp Room, for some reason, every lamp in the entire hotel went into this room. So one, I know. So one of my friends was like, all right, I'm going to go in there, close the door. I'm just going to like be in here for a couple minutes and see what the fuck, you know, happens from this. And we're like, better you than me, buddy. Like, sure. So we close the door, and like, where as I'm closing the door, it was like a vacuum. So it just shuts the door even faster, you know? So there was no real draft or anything, just shuts the door. So all of a sudden, so I hear her on the other side jiggling the handle. She can't get out. It locks the door behind her. So she's stuck in this fucking lamp room in like the one of the most haunted places in America, losing her fucking mind. And I mean, losing her fucking mind. So she was in there probably 15 minutes. All of a sudden, swear to God, the door unlocks. It was like, we're doing the same thing, no difference. All of a sudden, it just unlocks. It was like something wanted to just scare the living fuck out of her and then release her, like, just so it's like, see what I can do, you know? And then so after that, obviously, we were done. So as we're leaving, and we look up at the window, and it's one of those things, we're very scared. We're already like, yeah, you know, just having the heebie-jeebies. So, and then we're like, we all just do like a last look at the scene before we never fucking come back again. And all of a sudden, we just see this shadow just walk across this. Up, it was about four windows or four stories up. And it was just very clear. Like, it was a very clear. And you're just like, ha-ha!
Goodbye.
And we ran. We ran a good 2/3 of a mile back to our car and never came back. And that was probably the scariest thing that's ever happened.
Intense.
So it's a lot of course this could have happened, of course this could have happened, of course this could have happened.
So
but
many variables,
to be in this place and to know we're the only ones there and just like, oh, weird series of events, you know. And my friend still to this day can't watch scary movies. She's like, that fucked her up. Fucked her up.
That's so weird because I feel like my experiences have only fueled my really strange horror obsession like throughout my entire life.
Right.
It's just just compounded over time.
Absolutely.
Like, give me more scary shit and I'm just more into it. Give it to me.
That was my start for sure. Yeah, it was scary as all hell, but I mean, it was just so intriguing and just, it was fun, you know, like, yeah, as scared as we were, it was one of the most fun things I've ever
it's
done in my
adrenaline
life.
Adrenaline rush.
Yeah,
anytime
like to this
like
day,
happens.
I still be like, yes. "Fuck yeah, glad I did it," but never again.
Never ever.
So that's all I got.
Well, it took us this long to get that out of you. That's
I know.
Good.
You're welcome. You never asked. I'm kidding. That's I mean, as soon as you heard a story of a, you start off with a nightwalker, skin wearing walker, skin walk, whatever the fuck.
You
like,
almost got there. I know. Out of literally three tries.
You almost so got close. There, but I mean, she's right. It's kind of hard to top a
out of
whole
skin pajamas
cryptid experience you had, and then we're like, oh, let me tell my minuscule ghost story to you real quick.
Exactly. That, like, you know, mine doesn't have any history behind it, you know, no,
I
mean, Native American origin.
It was just like, oh, maybe I was dehydrated that day. I don't know, man.
It's downtown Orlando.
Or you
it's
might have just
possible.
Like met a homeless.
Or it fucking
dude.
Happened.
He did look super homeless. I'm not discrediting that.
Yeah, I mean, I
but also the way he moved was like super shifty.
Oh yeah, that was another part of it. He moved.
But like, see, no, dude,
he, that's what
me,
he
bro.
Did.
He did like
I've
the grudge
up
style.
In Orlando.
Yes, exactly.
I get shifty
exactly.
homeless people. Like,
but this was very specific.
We also have to remember that crystal meth exists.
I understand that too, but also certain body parts shouldn't move certain ways. That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
Not
I hope
wrong.
I hope I meet him.
I do too. I hope I see him from afar.
I don't know, like, Bree kind of like showed me up. Like, that was actually like a very good ghost story. That's like pretty good. I feel like mine is just so like minuscule and just
no. That, the no, the impact just like, that had the fact that the series of events like that. Yours was more. Mine was like, there's ways to explain that a lot easier, in my opinion. Win this, that, whatever the fuck. Like, that is the timing on it and everything, you can't explain that
part. It was a strange
part.
Timing thing.
Absolutely.
But it still feels like so like anecdotal to me. Like, you were with a group, so you're able to.
Well, three of us.
Yeah, that's still a thing. Like, it's been a while since I've had like a weird experience, but like, I remember I lived in like outside of Seattle for a long time when I was growing up, and we had this like this really shitty apartment, and I had like my room, and I shared a wall like with the bathroom, and the bathroom had this vanity, and there were like several drawers, and one of them was always stuck to where like you had to like really put weight on it and pull it out, and it made this most like horrendous screeching like wood on wood noise when you did it, right? And almost every night for almost a year, in like the 2 to 3 a.m. range, I could hear that drawer opening every single night in my bathroom.
Oh,
sometimes
my
I'd be
God.
By myself. Sometimes like there was no one else in the apartment with me. Every single night I'd have to hear this drawer just screeching open.
I don't think I would have slept a single night.
Oh my God. Just like pull the covers over tight, just try to ignore what's happening. Just,
oh my God.
Okay, it was never like menacing or like I never felt anything weird about it. That
and
was
it's
just
like
the one thing.
Specific drawer. Like, how lame is that?
So
if, like,
lame.
You're a ghost.
The laziest ghost.
And you're like channeling like the preternatural forces of the ether.
Like,
and you're just like,
I mean, but that's
oh, this
really
is gonna, I'm gonna fucking show these guys.
But that's the thing, is like, that's projecting like
30 seconds.
But that's strategic in my mind. But I think that ghost canvassed the whole house, was like, what is gonna make the most impactful sound?
Right?
Oh, I'm just gonna open this fucking drawer
and
for 30
so
seconds.
It's so mundane. It's like you didn't even try, right?
Yeah, why? You couldn't just fucking, what, flickering lights? You couldn't,
nothing.
Like, stack furniture? You were just gonna open this
just
drawer?
Just open the drawer.
God, what an annoying-ass fucking ghost.
Super.
So one of my favorite quotes that I'd ever heard, and it was recently from like a specific show I was listening to, where they interviewed one of the guys from Ghost Hunters, right?
Oh,
and even he was just like,
shit, the OGs.
Here's the thing, and this is why I had respect for the show, because the guy was like, dude, come on, like we know it's full of shit. Like, we just go in, we like, oh, my light turned on. But there's been like twice where something happened, where like, what the fuck was that? I'm never doing that again, right? And so he talks about his experiences. It's not something I could definitely recreate in some sort of like super powerful way. But at the end of it, what I really liked that he said was like, all right, so say there are spirits out there. Say they're just walking around. Like, there's one in this brewery right next to this tank next to us, right? How often are you walking down the street and you just walk up to somebody else and go, I'm troubled by everything? That would be fucking weird. So his thought was just like, all right, so like maybe it just happens every now and then with like somebody with that resonates with a specific spirit or something or other. But like, no one's just walking around trying to scare the shit out of everyone. Maybe that's why we don't have all these different weird experiences.
But what if it's the ghosts from like the 1800s that are still around? They seem very mad and really like.
Just I would be too if I didn't have Mountain Dew back in the 1800s.
So
they're watching us guzzle the shit out.
We're talking about present current ghosts.
But yes, like it's 2021. Why don't we have any ghosts doing like the what's up?
Actually, valid point. At least half the people that seen that are dead.
I think.
Could you imagine?
Have you seen Scary Movies?
Yeah, like 20 years from now, like we're gonna like, oh yeah, there's gonna be like videos of people like, yeah, this ghost in this house just won't stop bussing it, and like every time I turn on a light, I swear to God, I see a ghost just twerking out of
He's
the corner of my fucking eye.
Every
he just
day,
will not,
3 a.m. It's pretty
flossing.
Bitch.
Yeah.
That's all I hear.
Like, I was disturbed. I woke up from a dead sleep, and I looked over to the corner. I saw a shadowy figure, and he was just flossing. And I just
like
didn't know. I just don't know. Oh my God. Like, he was really good at it, too.
Okay. Actually, I love this idea. So let's look at, like, right now, every ghost is like a Victorian era, right?
Yes.
Everyone's just like,
always
wearing like
white
long
linen.
White gown.
Oh, man. Think about in the year, like, what? 2716. Where they just see a guy in like parachute pants flossing like fucking crazy at the end of their bed. They're like, what the fuck is this?
Is this that all I picture is Doug in a Hawaiian though? Like,
and he's just looking at you like this, like,
that is straight the fuck up where my brain went to. Like, that's
cool.
The ghost I'm picturing.
That's
cool.
My new sleep paralysis demon is just Doug in a Hawaiian shirt.
I think that's a good place to stop, honestly. Like, I can't think of anything scarier to talk
now
about.
Now I don't know if I want the episode named My Sleep Paralysis Demon or named Doug or...
OnlyFans for ghosts?
Yeah, I know. I'm really
Doug
torn.
In a Hawaiian shirt.
No.
Flossing.
No. We'll get it. We'll get it. Oh, well, shit. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us.
Thank you. Yeah, for us.
How fun is it to just talk about bullshit?
Right.
Like, this is. Yeah.
I could talk about ghosts all day, guys.
It's so fun.
Same. That's why we did this. We can too.
Yeah. And yes, can
least,
you?
At least an hour a day.
Me too. Also.
Well, guys, have a lovely day and. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, hit that like, subscribe button everywhere that you listen to podcasts. Thank you to Sticker Wolf, the homie, hooking us up with the slappers. And
who are these people on social?
My Instagram is the Rally of Wolves.
And I'm Beauty and the Beer.
Follow them both for dope ass content that is very different from one another.
Very much so.
But equally dope.
Hell yeah. Dude, right. Thank you very much, guys.
Yeah, yep,
thank absolutely. You.
Thank you.
Toodles.
Do this again.
All right, like right now. Actually, sit back
down. Sit down. We're going to tell right, another right.
And
again.
Here we go.
Dead. Dead.